Check, 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 check. All right, we good. Hallelujah. All right, let's start the podcast now. Okay, if you got your word, your sword, if you're a soldier, you got your sword with you today. All right, let's go ahead and wave your Bible in the air. All right, shake your Bible in the air. Make the devil nervous in the service. Make the devil nervous in the service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't have your sword, make sure you bring it. All right, you don't come to a fight without a sword. Amen? You got to have your weapon with you. All right. Open up your Bible. Let's look at Exodus 25. And today's passage comes from Exodus 25, verse 31 through 40. And hallelujah. If you look on your Jubal, on your bulletin, you look inside, you can see the offering numbers are a little bit off. But in a good way. Hallelujah. So, you know, last week, I preached a message on sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. And I just shared a word that I felt like the Holy Spirit put on my heart. And almost like 20 people responded, came up to the front, and they sowed a $1,000 seed. Hallelujah. And we're not just talking about the tithe, we're talking about the offering. All right, David said, I will not give an offering that costs me nothing. And hallelujah, there were brothers and sisters up here, and they were sowing. Hallelujah, I thought I saw some tears last week. Hallelujah. The word of God says, you will sow in tears, but you will reap forth joy. Amen? Amen, hallelujah. So, you know, for those who are new today, our church just came through a season of sowing and 42 days of fasting. And if you decide to join us today, you've chosen a good Sunday to join us, because from here on, we're going to start reaping. Amen? So, you know, what Jesus said, one sows, the other reaps, is true. If you came and join us today, we want to invite you. We are entering a season of reaping. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be life-changing. Nothing's going to be ever the same again as we come into these next few weeks. And hallelujah, just as a testimony, all right, and I'm not sure exactly what happened, but just as a testimony, as you know, I shared last week that at the Benny Hinn Conference in Kentucky, I sold a $1,000 seed. Hallelujah. All right, and the first night I gave a $300 offering, and I thought I was being pretty generous. All right, and that was my offering. That wasn't the tithe. All right, and then the next day, God convicted me again, and I was like, Lord, I'll give. And I decided to give $250, and I actually ended up giving less. And then that same night, on the third service, I was like just dead set that I will not do any more sowing for the entire month. And God just started speaking through this financial pastor, like a financial pastor. He's a pastor anointed to preach a financial message. And I got convicted. And I looked at Erin, and I knew that she was convicted as well. And I ended up going to the front, and I ended up sowing a $1,000 offering. Hallelujah. I think my sister was here for this all last week, right? All right, because I didn't get yelled at this past week. So I was wondering if she even heard it or not. And then actually, on the way back from Kentucky, like I said, we had visited a small African-American church in Kentucky called Creative Word. And Thomas Durden, the pastor there, he shared about how he wanted to go to the Philippines. He had been there before to minister, and he only had raised $498. And when he shared that amount, Spirit of the Lord jumped right in my spirit and said, give him $500. I want you to double what he has raised from this church. All right, so, I was like, well, by this time I was just numb to all the numbers. I just sowed in faith. Hallelujah. I sowed in my tears. But if you do the math, I ended up sowing over $2,000 in those 3 days. And, hallelujah. Wow's right. Hallelujah. But, the word of God says, he who sows generously will reap generously. Amen? And, God doesn't have to, bless you back financially. But, as we believe the goodness of our God, if you're trying to manipulate God, obviously that's not going to work. But if you just have faith in his goodness,
I believe that he loves to give his children good gifts.
And so on the plane ride back, I don't know if I share this, but the moment we are about to board a plane to come to Korea, Aaron's mom just unexpectedly, I can share this, right? It's okay. All right. Hallelujah. She gave us $2,000 in cash. Okay. And then, hallelujah, we arrived here in Korea last weekend. And since then, somebody in this church gave for the month of November, there was a $500 offering toward my ministry. So that's good. Hallelujah. I'll take that. Hallelujah. And then there was a direct transfer. I don't know if somebody is in here. You know, I don't know who it is. I thought it was, Mina, but it wasn't her. I thought it was the church, but it wasn't the church. Right, somebody anonymously, or maybe you mean to tell me and just forgot, but somebody transferred $1,000 right into my account this past week. Hallelujah. So I'm just praising the Lord, all right? I can't explain it. All I know is it just propels me to just continue to sow into the kingdom of God. Because this is an investment that will never go broke. Amen? Amen? It has infinite dividends. Hallelujah. To the souls of men. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. And you know, I'm just continuing to expect more from the Lord. And I'm just going to continue to sow more, knowing that God is a good God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Today we're going to look at a message. And this is a message that I felt like God just... one of those messages that God just downloaded, boom, into my spirit. All right, because I was struggling yesterday. I was just like, oh, I'm running out of time. I didn't have no clever analogies. You know, I didn't have a good outline. I was frustrated. I was on my bed, and I was just laying there, and I was just like, Lord, I'm just going to try to wing it tomorrow. All right, Lord, if you don't give me something. And all of a sudden, right there, boom, the outline, boom, just all appeared. And I just put it together. All right. Hallelujah. All right. I've been awake since 3 a.m. I got the fire of God on me. I don't feel one bit tired. And I'm sowing in from 3 a.m. till now so that y'all can reap, hallelujah, a mighty harvest in your spiritual lives. So praise the Lord. I'm here to deliver the message that I feel like God put on my heart. Let's look at Exodus 25 verse 31. Once again, I'm going to be reading from the ESV from now on, so we recommend you guys go out and get a copy of that. One word about the ESV, because they don't have as much publishing power as NIV, the binding, okay, is a little bit poor, okay, it's glued on, not sewn on, and people know about books, you know, that's a big difference. And then the pages are a little bit thin, and then on the smaller versions, the font is not so good. All right, so I'm just letting you know, okay? So don't be disappointed if you guys get yourself a copy and you don't like the quality. You know, NIV is definitely superior to quality. NIV still has a lot of good points, but I want the church to really build our teaching and preaching ministry on the ESV from now on. Because, you know, it's going to go deeper. And hallelujah, we were praying the other morning, with Aaron and I were praying, and Aaron saw a vision of a sword, right, baby? It was a big sword, right, baby? Okay. And the sword had the label ESV on it. So, praise the Lord. God's paying attention to, because you know, he's the one who's inspiring me to make this move. So, I know that's going to bless everybody in the long run. Let's read it. Exodus 25, verse 31. I'm just going to read verse 31. It says, you shall make a lampstand. Somebody say lampstand.
Lampstand.
Of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. Its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, this was an important piece of furnishing in the tabernacle of God. Hallelujah. And God didn't leave it up to the Israelites, all right, to just kind of like make up whatever lampstand they thought would just do a good job. All right, God specifically, if you look in verse 40, he told them to make sure that it's created in the exact pattern that he sets. Hallelujah. And this is important because the lampstand, all right, will go on to serve as a very powerful symbol. OK,
Okay. So the details of this lampstand are very important. Hebrews 8:5 says that the elements in the old covenant, the ark, the tabernacle, the priesthood, the lampstand, they all serve as a copy and shadow of heavenly things. So what does a shadow do? Right? What does your shadow do? Right? If you see, if your friend trying to sneak up on you and you're approaching the corner, but then your friend didn't take into account their person's shadow, and you're approaching the corner, you see that person's shadow, what does the shadow tell you? That the person's right there, right? The shadow points to a reality, right? And in the same way, these shadows, all right, of the old covenant, these elements in the old covenant, it is a shadow pointing to a bigger reality of heavenly things. All right. And since Christ has been crucified and rose again, we now do away with the shadow to focus on the reality. All right. Hallelujah. You know, last week I was listening to the podcast and I realized I said okay a lot. That really annoys me. All right, hallelujah. So all right, just give me a weird look if I say okay too much. All right. All right, good. All right, praise the Lord. I'm going to keep going. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, we do away with animal sacrifices. Man, I'm so happy that we didn't do away with that. I don't want to be killing animals up here on Sunday services. You know what I'm saying? We do away with them because the true sacrifice that takes away our sin has been paid for once and for all. Amen?
Amen.
We do away with the tabernacle and the temple because the Bible says our bodies are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and we become the living temples of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We do away with the priesthood, at least the old priesthood, because Christ is now our high priest. And the Bible says he makes intercession for us. And he is calling us to be a kingdom of priests. We do away with the lampstand as well, because the church is now the lampstand and Jesus is the high priest and he's the one that attends to it and keeps the fire burning. Amen?
Amen.
Revelations 1. Let's turn to Revelation 1. Keep your finger on Exodus 25. Turn to Revelations chapter 1. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Actually, let's read it from verse 12. God, got to build up the mystery because you don't know what this is about. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 to 20 in the ESV. It says, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest." Hallelujah. "And the hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength." Hallelujah.
Amen.
"When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When the presence of God manifests in a powerful way, that's what happens. Amen.
Amen.
You fall dead. You fall flat on your face or on your back like you are dead. Exactly what happened to John. And he said, "He laid his right hand on me and he said, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands
are the seven churches. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to turn to your neighbor. Tell him God is establishing this church as a lampstand in his presence. So today we're going to look at three elements of the lampstand. All right. I can't cover everything. I'm just going to cover three. Right, if I cover more, y'all probably won't remember anyway. All right. Unless you take notes. And bless the people taking notes, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless them, Lord. Praise the Lord. Because they're blessing me. All right. We turn to chapter 27 of Exodus. All right, just keep it on 25, but look at chapter 27 of Exodus. Chapter 27, verse 20. It says, "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, NIV does flow a lot better, but we're sticking with the ESV, all right? We're going to follow the inner spirit. Might be a little bit like doo-doo-doo, but it's because they're trying to be literal. All right, hallelujah. The first point I want to make about the lampstand is a lampstand has got to have fire. Somebody say fire.
Fire.
Somebody say fire.
Fire.
Woo. Scared our newcomers just now. Look, a lampstand ain't a lampstand without a fire. Amen? I mean, what good is a lampstand if it ain't got a fire continually burning? Right? Sometimes, man, I grew up in Philadelphia. And some of the street lights in Philly just don't work. I mean, what good is a street light without no light on it? You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And what good is a lampstand without a fire? Without a fire, guess what? You don't have any light. And unfortunately, there are some lampstands out there that are being built, but they don't have a fire. Therefore, they don't shine any light. And then there's no life in the church. There may be a lot of activity, but there ain't no life. Churches can be busy with activity, but have no life. A church can serve Jesus, but not follow Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. A church can serve Jesus, but not follow Jesus. You know, a church can do a lot of things for God, but it ain't worth rubbish in the sight of God. There's a lot of people in the world, they're doing a lot of things for God. I'm telling you right now. The Bible says it's going to get burned up. Hallelujah. Woo. Ain't going to be worth nothing to God. The Bible says God is not served as if he needed anything. For he is the one who gives life and breath and everything else. God is not served, brothers and sisters. And I know in the church we say that a lot. I'm serving the Lord. What do you do for a living? I serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve. But if you really want to talk about it, God is not served. You know what? He doesn't seek your volunteerism or sacrifice or advice. Bible says in Romans 11:4, "Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor?" God never in history stopped for a second and said, "Hey, Martin, what do you think I should do for JSEM?" Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Hallelujah. God needs not your service. He requires your obedience. Hallelujah. Amen. How stupid would it have been if Noah, he had noble plans to build orphanages as a way to serve the Lord in the same year that God was planning the flood. When you think about Moses, how stupid would it be if he offered to serve the Lord in the wilderness by digging wells when God was calling him to go back to Egypt? Brothers and sisters, God is not served. He is obeyed. Ooh, hallelujah, I'm preaching today. And wherever a church obeys the leading of the Spirit, I believe that God puts a fire on the church. And that fire lights up the lampstand. Hallelujah. Jesus said, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Remember, no fire, no light. No light, no life. But whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? Amen? That means that we should never say that we are the light of the world because Jesus is the light. Amen? My bad. I set you off for that one. All right, that's not true. Okay. Jesus did not simply say, I am the light of the world. He said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. He didn't stop there. He didn't say, I'm the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm trying to spit out the NIV. Hallelujah. Which is okay if I did that. But it says, when we put our faith in Christ, the light of the world dwells in us by his Spirit. So thus Jesus declares you and I to be the light of the world. Every person who is in Christ, Christ calls you light of the world. And let me make a distinction here. Individually, as members of the universal church, okay, we are the light of the world. And then collectively, as members of a local church, we are symbolized as the lampstand of God. You guys just get that? It's like this. Independently, I am a lamp. I got a light. You got a light? I got a light, yeah. Yeah. You got a light? Hallelujah. I'll show you a light. You want me to pray for you, brother? Why don't you put down that smoke? Let me pray for you. Let me show you what real fire is all about. Oh, hallelujah. There come a day. Oh, hallelujah. You see, independently, I am a lamp, but together we are a lampstand. Amen? See, the lampstand is not just one long stand with a light on top. Okay? If you read in Exodus 25, the lampstand, it had all these branches, six of them, three on each side. And then it had a total of seven lamps all together. And that makes up one lampstand. All right, it's more like a candlestick. You remember all them Jewish menorahs? All right, that's kind of like what it looks like. But it's not candles, because candles is wax. We're talking about oil, hallelujah. Oil is what kept those lampstands burning, hallelujah. So it's like more like a menorah, like a big menorah, hallelujah. That's a lampstand. Together we are a lampstand. And it's important that as Christians, we not only shine Christ's light alone, but together, amen? Oh, that was weak. We are not to just shine Christ's light alone, but together. Amen? Yeah. So Jesus says here, people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl or a basket. People put it on a what? Right. Matthew 5:14. City on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. Hallelujah. on a stand.
And it gives light to all who are in the house.
But some people, they are forever putting their light under a basket. You know that? You know, for years, some people, they bounce from church to church, and they never come under the authority and covering of a local church. Or they're committed to attend a church, but they don't serve. They don't give their tithe. They don't get involved. They leave their talents and giftings undeveloped, and no one sees their good works to give glory to God. They just put, they got this little light, and they put it on their basket. And they bounce around from conference to conference, from yebe to yebe. And their light, the whole time, is just hidden in their basket. Brothers and sisters, if God's got you in one place for a particular season, let me preach to you. Get connected to a local church. Amen? Get connected to a church that the Spirit of God leads you to. Get somewhere where you can grow, where you can serve, where you're free to make mistakes and still be accepted. Go somewhere where people celebrate the unique way in which you can shine Christ's light. If you look at this lampstand, it's got all these little almond buds, hallelujah, and little flowers and calyxes. I don't even know what a calyx is, but it's something pretty. All right, it's decorative, hallelujah. It's all made of gold, too. Hallelujah. Each of us, man, we bloom and we shine Christ's light differently. And you want to be in a place where people are going to celebrate that. All right? You want to be somewhere where there is a multitude of beautiful, tongue-talking, hand-shaking, prophecy-spitting sisters. Amen? Somewhere where the pastor may look small. Woo! But a mighty unction of the Spirit that's flowing out of him is anything but small. Hallelujah. All right, that was a shameless plug, I admit, but I had to do it. Okay. Well, what I'm saying to you is one man on a hill is unimpressive. But a city on a hill, hallelujah, cannot be hidden. Amen? That's why God wants you part of a local church. He wants you plugged into a ministry where you can be committed, where you can be under the covering of the spiritual leadership and authority that God has established there. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, the light of the world, came into the world, but the Bible says in John 3:19 says, the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. You know what? Some people hate the light. Some people hate it. They hate the light because they love their evil. They love their secret sins. They love their fornication. They love their debauchery. They hate the light. Even people in the church, some people, they just hate the light. They hate the light. You know what it comes down to? They hate the light because they're children of the devil. They're controlled by the devil. They're under bondage to the devil. And you know what? Some of them are doomed to destruction, and they will hate the light to the day they die. But praise the Lord, there will be others who will be powerfully delivered. And they will go from darkness and they will run into the marvelous light. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. But as the light of the world, we are the light of the world. As we are the light of the world and the lampstand of God together, even though people hate us, that does not mean that we should stop shining. Amen? Just because people hate us does not mean that we stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Just because they hate us, that does not mean that we stop praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Just because they hate us, does not mean that we stop doing deliverance ministry and setting people free from bondage and casting out devils. Hallelujah. Just because they hate us does not mean that we stop doing missions. You know, the people in Afghanistan, they hate Christians. It's publicized all over CNN. Christians, please stay out of Afghanistan. Please, do us all a favor. World peace. Stay out of Afghanistan. You know, they hate us there. They hate the light. You know, my dad be like, you know, he'd be like, how long are you going to do this? Talk about my ministry, right? How long are you going to do this? I said, well, I just follow the leading of the Lord. As long, you know, as long as the Lord wants me here. And he's like, all right, well, you know, all right, well, you know, I know you're doing all that mission stuff. You're going to all these countries and stuff. That's great. That's great. Taj Mahal. All right, great, great, great. But just stay away from Afghanistan. That's what he told me. Just stay away from, like, the Muslim countries. Then you go to, like, some Stan country. What was it, like, Kazakhstan? I was like, yeah, that. But I don't let what he say dictate my decisions, amen? It is the Spirit of the Lord. It's not what your parents say, as much as you want to consider what they say. You want to be respectful of them. Thank you for your opinion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you follow the email spirit. All right, don't do like, don't do nothing like that. Korean culture, that don't not go down too well. You just say, yeah, yeah, and then, you know, passive aggressive. You just do something else. Yeah, but let them know that you're going to do something else. Brothers and sisters, there are people that hate the light. And you know what? As long as we're on this earth, there are always going to be haters. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Oh, there are some haters out there. But check it out, sister. We don't shine to be liked or accepted. We shine to make Christ renowned. Amen? Whether people reject him or they call on his name, our job is simply to shine that light and make his glorious renown, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters over the sea. It's not our job to convert everybody. It's not our job to give, personally, I mean, I don't believe this. I don't think it's our job to give everybody an opportunity to say yes. That was like some evangelical group's goal statement, you know, to give everybody a chance to say yes. You know why I don't believe in that? Because when I go out and evangelize at NYU, I give one person a chance to say yes and they say no. I see them again, you know, a year later. Hey, weren't you the dude I talked to last? You wanna receive Christ now? No. I get two chances. They still say no. All right? You can give everybody a chance to say yes, but they all say no. Unless it is the Holy Spirit that enables them to call on the name of Christ. You see, grace is not just the cross. Grace is the application of the cross. A fallen sinner will never call on the name of Jesus to be saved. He just doesn't think he needs to. You need the grace of God to convert a heart like that, to regenerate a heart like that. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again as a work of the Spirit's work of grace, you will never call on the name of Jesus. You will always be a hater. So I don't think our goal is to give everybody a chance to say yes. I think our goal is to just go out and shine Christ's light through the way we live, through the way we preach the gospel. We do crusades, miracle crusades, you know, just give, you know, scatter all the demons that are in that town. You know, just go into a town, you know, filled with witchcraft, idolatry, just go in there. Hallelujah. Just preach the gospel. People are like, boom, something get broken off of them. They're like, whoa, I've been living in depression. I want Jesus. They come forward to receive Jesus. Man, you pray for them. They fall in the power of God. Hallelujah. People get saved, delivered. And then what happens? People of that town, they come out. They call the police. They threaten you. What's going on in India? What's going on? What happened in Indonesia in the last decade? Right? They're always haters. But we don't shine Christ's light to be liked or accepted, only to make Christ renowned. And God will do the work of salvation in the hearts of those who hear. So, brothers and sisters, the first element of the lampstand, I spent a little too much time on the first element. First element is the fire of God. Hallelujah. Lampstand's got to have the fire. Amen? Bible says, Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fire. Hallelujah. Whenever you praise God, you should praise God with fire. Not once a year at a conference, not at some huge mega campus crusade conference that's held once a year, not at some YWAM conference. All right. Every time you praise, even when you are alone in your prayer closet. Hallelujah. Unless you got like you're really, really sick, or you're like really, really fasting for a long time and you just, you know, Lord. You know, that's the most thing you help out. I'm sure God will see that. But we should always keep our spiritual fire, the fervor, serving the Lord, the word of God says. And as a church, brothers and sisters, may we never lack in zeal. Amen? Amen. May the fire, hallelujah, no matter what the haters say, may the fire of God always burn on this lampstand. Amen? Amen. And as that happens, the light of Christ will shine. And as that happens, life. Life. Come forth in the lives of those you come near. Hallelujah. I guarantee you, yeah, some of you guys, you know, you guys visit our church or you've been in and out and stuff, you know, and you just sit there sometimes, you're just like, man, what was all this shouting and commotion about? Back in my church, we didn't do all that. I don't feel like that's necessary. I don't have to prove to God every week that I love him by making all that noise. What's all that about? And what you don't understand is the people that are shouting, they are filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's not like they feel like they need to do it. They want to do it. Hallelujah. Because God's Spirit's given them that holy desire. The stirring is happening in their spirit. But what I want to tell people that just kind of going in and out of the church, but not really experiencing much yet. I'm telling you, you keep coming out here and life will enter you. You keep coming in here, and the places that were dead will begin to come to life. Even your family members. We have so many testimonies at this church. Family members getting saved. Life, life, life. Why? Because the fire is burning. And where the fire is burning, there's a light. And where the light is shining, there is the light of life. And Christ, in him, was life. And that life was the light of men. We are to always keep this lampstand burning. Amen? Hallelujah. If you look in Exodus, back in Exodus 27, verse 20, it says, you shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil. Somebody say oil.
Oil.
Oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn in the tent of meeting outside the veil that is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall tend to it from evening to morning before the Lord. Hallelujah. Second element of the lampstand is the oil. Hallelujah. Amen. To keep the lampstand burning, we need oil. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need oil. You know, you see some brothers, sometimes they try to start up a barbecue fire. They don't know what they're doing. They put the coals inside, you know, and then they bring the flicker gun, whatever, you know, the long tip, and there's fire come out the end. They flicker it. And then they try to keep the fire burning, but the fire goes out, so they just flicker it again. And then sometimes they just like get like five flickers and they just keep it there. Because they don't know how to keep the fire going. They don't know how to keep the fire going. My brothers and sisters, to keep a fire going inside of this church, in this lampstand, what you need is oil. In the Old Testament, the priests had to constantly tend to the lampstand with oil to keep the fire going. I mean, poor Aaron and his sons, you know. Could never take a family vacation. And in the same way, the church needs priests, which are modern day intercessors, leaders who make intercession for the people, for people that will not even pray for themselves. We need priests to regularly tend to the church with oil, so that this lampstand keeps on burning. And what does the oil symbolize for us?
the anointing. That's right. Hallelujah. The oil is a shadow pointing to the reality of the anointing power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the reason why we pray every Friday and every Sunday, and if you're a leader, you should strive to be at every single meeting. Some of y'all didn't like that. Let me say that again. So, if you are a leader, you should strive to be on time, early even, to every single meeting. You're not coming out for your own health. These Fridays and Sunday swims are crucial to keep the oil flowing. We got to do our part to keep this church walking in the anointed. You know, it's very easy to kill the fire that's on JSCM. It's very easy. Contrary to popular belief, it's very easy. All right, all the leaders here at this church have to do is get lazy and get careless about prayer, and it will cut the flow of the oil, and then it would have a domino effect. Everything else will be affected. Shoot, you know what? Even if y'all stop praying at this church, nobody's came out to fight a fire anymore. I don't know, we got into a big fight, and I offended everybody in some sermon or something, which could possibly happen. Hallelujah. And y'all stop coming out. You know what? I'm still confident because I have a anointing on my life. Hallelujah. I'm still confident that I'm going to still minister with a powerful anointing. But once again, I'm telling you, a man on a hill is unimpressive. But a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen? That's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, to keep this JSCM lampstand burning. You know, the devil knows that the lampstand must be constantly supplied with oil. He knows how to snuff it out. So he'll bring something up on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Hey, where were you on Friday? Kimbap Jungkook. Like who are you hanging out with? Oh, yeah, I was just trying to pray for somebody. Oh, yeah, really? Okay. All right, and the devil will bring something up every Friday. Maybe on even on Sunday morning, prevent you from tending to the oil. Or he may distress you. Right, this is for people that are committed to coming out every week. They come, but then they get distressed, like a discouragement hits them all of a sudden. Just hours before the prayer meeting. And they just don't want to pray. That's the devil's strategy. He knows if he can snuff out the prayer meeting, then he can snuff out this lampstand. Evening and morning, Aaron and his sons were to tend to the lampstand. Brothers and sisters, let us not be like the foolish virgins. We don't know when Jesus will return. And as a church, we got to do everything that we need to do to make sure that there is oil in this lampstand. And that means we got to pray. And if you're a newcomer and you want to come out and tend to the oil, you are more than welcome to do so. We would love to have you come and tend to this oil. Hallelujah. And your hands will get greasy and you will get oiled up. Hallelujah. And then you'll be slippery for the devil. Next time the devil tries to, you know, attack you. You know, hey, I got you. Woo! Can't get a grip on that because the person is anointed. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo. Woo. All right. Let's keep going. Third point. Let's go to Exodus 25. Go back to Exodus 25. Look at 31 again. It says, "You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work." Hallelujah. The third element of the lampstand is the gold. Woo, hallelujah. The gold. The Bible says that the lampstand is to be made of pure gold. Not plastic. Not steel. Both of which are man-made materials. Mm-hmm.
Now, some lampstands, they're made of plastic. They are made of plastic. They look like strong steel, but it's really man-made. In the eyes of men, it looks nice and strong. But God does not set his eyes on such driven churches. God is all about, let me tell you what God is all about. His eyes are on the bling bling, hallelujah. Because God's all about gold, and not just gold, pure gold. Somebody say pure gold.
Pure gold,
pure gold, hallelujah. Our God is a classy God. He's all about the gold. And in that sense, the Word of God says in 1 Peter that our faith is like gold. And it's being refined, being made pure more and more. Hallelujah. And you know what? When it comes down to it, we as a church together, we are called the bride of Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. Amen. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Christ loves JSEM. He gave himself up for her. For this to exist right here, Christ gave himself up for us. And he wants to sanctify us by the washing of water with the word, so that we may be prepared as a radiant bride. Oh, hallelujah. Holy and pure and blameless. Amen? I mean, I can't imagine if, you know, July 26th we got married, right? Aaron and I, we got married. Aaron's like, you know, coming down the aisle, hallelujah, and I'm looking up, bright eyes, and ooh, hallelujah, here comes my bride. And the closer she gets, I see a big old ketchup stain right here on her hip. I mean, that you know, as much as I, you know, that's not a right picture, right? That's not a right picture. No bride in her right mind will walk down the aisle with a ketchup stain on her hip. Amen? It's a mustard stain. I had a hot dog right before. I'm hungry. I got to eat. Mustard stain all over her dress. No bride in her right mind knows about that stuff and then walks out on the aisle. But we, for some reason, we think as a bride of Christ that we can just present ourselves to Christ in whichever way we want. We need to be sanctified, brothers and sisters, through the washing of the word. That means you got to get the word of God in your life. And not just get it up here, you got to apply the word. Amen? He is a fool who only hears the word, but does not put it into practice. And let's talk corporately here. The reason why God permits the devil to attack JSEM from different angles, why he calls us to identify with Christ in his suffering, why he calls us to study the word of God, why he allows his people to be persecuted and slandered, it's because through all of these things, the church is refined to be pure gold. Christ always causes us to triumph. God works all things together for the good of those who love him. God is making us to be like pure gold. And this church to be like pure gold. Oswald Chambers said, the destined end of man is not happiness nor health, but holiness. The destined end of man is not happiness nor health, but holiness. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This doesn't mean that God won't give us happiness or health. But these are not the things that God has redeemed us for. Romans 8:29 says, God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Holiness. Oswald Chambers said it like this. He says, God did not come to save men out of pity. He came to save men because he had created them to be holy. The atonement means that God can put me back into perfect union with himself. Hallelujah. Holiness is living a life that is set apart for God in every way. A life of oneness with the Lord is what holiness is all about. If the more holy you are, the more oneness with the Lord that you will experience. Amen. Amen. So pure gold. We want this lampstand to be pure gold. Amen. Amen. Pure gold. Hallelujah. If you keep reading here, the lampstand shall also be made of hammered work. Somebody say hammer time. Oh, hammer work. Oh, it's hammer time. You know, JSCM wants to keep the lampstand burning. And we want this lampstand to get even brighter. Hallelujah. We want to grow bigger and contain even more oil. We got to understand that the Bible tells us that the oil flows from the top of Aaron's head down to his beard and down to the edges of his robes. In other words, the anointing flows from the top down. This speaks of spiritual authority. For the anointing to flow in your life, you got to be submitted to spiritual authority. There ain't no Lone Ranger Christians out there. You know, God may even pour out his spirit on such people, but they won't last too long. They'll come up tonight and they'll be gone tomorrow. But a lampstand that shines, hallelujah, that shines and shines with longevity is a lampstand that has been hammered away, hallelujah, been created by hammered work. Woo, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. God's not interested in a bunch of fire-filled, tongue-talking infants in Christ. Oh, snap is right. That's what we see in the Corinthian church. A bunch of fire-filled, tongue-talking, shouting infants in Christ. You know what? They not only had immorality issues, they had immaturity issues. Why? It's because the lampstand at Corinth had not been hammered down. It was not created with a hammer. Hallelujah. You know, many of you in here, you need some hammering in your life. Amen? Amen. No one's saying amen, right? Hallelujah. Y'all need a hammer in your life. It's for your own good. The lampstand is not simply made of pure gold. It's also made of hammered work. There's a refining. There's through the fire, there's a refining. There's also a hammering. Hallelujah. That comes down. Or as the King James Version says, made of beaten gold. Hallelujah. Who wants a beat down today? That's right. I didn't think so. But that's what we need. That's exactly what you need. And as the intern pastors will get it. Don't worry. They will get. I got no problem laying down the hammer. God has not wired me to have that weakness. Hallelujah. And as JSCM moves forward, let me tell you something. It's not going to be a picnic. God's raising up an army, and an army needs to prepare for war. And you know what? For an army to be made ready for war, they got to get hammered down in boot camp. Amen? You don't just send a soldier out there. You bring a soldier through boot camp. You made a boy into a man. Hallelujah. Hopefully we'll see that in our brother Sungwoo when he comes back. Not that he's a boy, but he will come back a man. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to get hammered down by sergeants. And similarly, you cannot raise up a church for mighty kingdom purposes without submission to authority. There's no way around it. The symbolism is powerful and unavoidable. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. That goes for every single person in here. Hallelujah. You know, 담임 목사님, Pastor Huang, he hammers me down. Hallelujah. And I hammer on y'all. And then your small group leaders, they hammer on you. Your SBS leaders, they need to do some hammering and stop just pressing play on a video. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just calling it out today. Hallelujah. I didn't mean nothing by it. You guys are doing great. All right, hallelujah. I'm just saying, raise up a standard. That's all I'm saying. Hallelujah. This means that if you're a leader and your pastor asks you to do something, you carry it out without grumbling, no matter how inconvenient it is. If your small group leader tells you that you should wait and pray, that means that you don't go around texting and sneaking around with some girl or guy. Woo, hallelujah. If your team leader tells you to jump, you ask how high, amen? That's submission to authority. We're not telling you to do it brainlessly, but we are telling you to do it. When it comes down to it, if that's the issue, you got to submit. You know what? Some people sitting there, they're like, you know what? It's uncomfortable to submit. How can I entrust myself to another sinner? He's a leader, but he's a sinner. He makes mistakes. All of his decisions are not foolproof. I can't entrust myself. That's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable. You know what? It's an excuse. Go, hallelujah. God will use any and every leader to hammer on you throughout your lifetime. Oh, you want me to spit it out? Here we go, right? King David. King David was the best king that ever lived in history. Why? Nobody came close. Why? Because he was the only king that was made of beaten gold. There was no other king that was raised up with a hammer. Every other king was handed the throne. But King David, he was anointed as king as a teenager, right? And it wasn't until many years later that he actually came into the position that he was anointed for. And what was going on in between all those years? What was happening? Beat down. Beat down. Hallelujah. I mean, shoot. King Saul, man, he was rejected by God as king. You know? King, you know, David could have said, man, God has rejected you, King Saul. I don't have to listen to what you have to say. Uh-uh. David didn't do that. King Saul would be like, man, oh, I got one of them crazy headaches again. Get David in here. David would come in with his harp. Yes, King Saul? Hey, David, man, just play them songs again. Play one of them songs. Man, just hurry up. David, oh, yes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Oh, yeah, that's good still. That's good. Keep going. Keep going. It makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. Grabs a spear and all of a sudden tries to kill King David. David's, you know, he was quick. He was a quick, you know, he was playing the harp. He's like, woo! King Saul, I thought you weren't going to do that no more. What's up? Come on, man. You're making me mad nervous. My hands start shaking. I can't play the harp like that. Even though that stuff was going on that whole time, what did David do? He continued to submit to Saul's authority. Continued to submit. And you know what? Later on, when David kind of got a little bit too prideful, right? Man committed adultery with Bathsheba. Guess what? God brought the hammer again through his son, Absalom. Wicked, wicked boy. But God used him nonetheless. Why? Because God's more interested in your holiness. So he'll use anybody. Think about Joseph. Man, Joseph. Prime minister of Egypt. One of the greatest leaders, I think, that has ever lived. Now, how did he become such a strong leader?
I'll tell you what. Beat down.
He literally got a beat down from his older brothers.
They beat him up. You know, they were like 10 of them, you know? They're all 10 of them. You know, there was 10 of them because the youngest brother wasn't there, right?
10 of them, beating them. They're like, let me get a shot, right? Boom. Yeah, let me get another one. Boom. He must have got like kicked down, punched in the face, like probably like over 60 times. Each of them probably got at least 6 hits. I mean, if I was one of the brothers, I'd probably want at least 6 hits. I mean, that is annoying with all them dreams and stuff. You got a beat down. Guess what? He got sold into slavery, was in the dungeon. God was hammering away. All right, God gave him favor, showed him some favor. And then what? Through Potiphar's wife? And here comes another hammer. Okay, hammering away at Joseph. Why? Because God's principal concern for Joseph was not just happiness. It was not just his well-being. It was his holiness. Why? Because God was raising him up for mighty purposes. And for those mighty purposes, he needed to have character. He needed to be set apart and holy. So God does that with fallen man using the hammered work. And this is the case with some of you. God's put a dream inside of you. Or God has anointed you as a mighty minister. But you look at yourself today and you're asking God, Lord, when are you going to fulfill your call in my life? You've anointed me to be this minister, but I'm not going on a single mission trip. I'm teaching English in Korea. Lord God, you put these dreams down deep when I was a teenager, when I was an adolescent. You gave me these dreams, Lord, and they won't go away. But God, what am I doing here? You're not doing nothing. You know what God's telling you tonight? I mean, today? Look at the hammer. That's what he's telling you. You want to get there? Look at the hammer. Before God will use a man, he will break a man. So if your small group leader ain't pushing you, if your small group leader ain't speaking the truth in love, they might think that they're doing you a favor, but the whole time they're just slowing down God's purposes for your life. You tell your small group leader, hey, please, bring the hammer. I said it. I won't like it, but I said it. Bring the hammer. Leaders, you need to learn to give your disciples a beatdown. Amen? Come on, leaders. You're afraid because you think, I'm going to give you a beatdown. If you give too much of a beatdown to your... No. I like seeing you guys give the beatdown. And that's it. I'll just beat down on the intern pastors. They're going to get it. Oh, they're going to get it. Now, I won't do it in a spiteful way. I won't just ask them to do things just for the sake of. But, you know, God will lead me to do, you know, and assign them things that will make them very challenged. It's going to stretch them. Hallelujah. Man, I remember, man, I'm just going to close with this. I remember when I used to take karate. Back in Philly, I used to take karate. Not taekwondo. Okinawa style karate from an African American Marine named Sensei Tyrone Wiggins. Hallelujah. Oh, Sensei didn't play though, man. He was one jack dude. He was a Marine. Man, I'm telling you, if the Sensei was extra hard on you, that means he was showing you extra love. Everybody knew it. You know, we'd be doing our katas, and then, you know, we just wait for a sensei to come over and yell at us. Or we'd be in a sparring match, and then we wait for sensei to just be like, all right, stop this match. All right, Tim, and he's like much bigger dude, you know, come fight him, you know. I remember sensei, man, he took it hard on me. And you know, sometimes it was hard to tell if it was love or not. One time, actually, it was just punishment. I like blew up during a karate class, like one of the parents were there. And I just started, like, using the F word and I just blew up. I was just like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then the parent told my sensei, and my sensei was like, you have brought shame on this dojo. And then he lined up all our best fighters. And our best fighters, they were like real street fighters. Like they were like, they would get on this fight on the streets and they would like beat people down. And they also knew how to use all the swords and stuff because we used weapons. But they didn't use weapons on me. But I had to fight them for an hour and a half. You ever do a sparring match? All right, 10 minutes feels like an eternity. He made me fight for an hour and a half. That big dude, Tim, he came out, 6'3". Boy used to go in the back. He was a lot older than us, too. He was like 16, 17 years old. I was still like 13. He would go in the back, and he would break bricks with his bare hands. I kid you not. There would just be like bricks. We weren't even a real school. We were at a recreation center. We were just renting the recreation center. He would go and take a brick, and he'll just be like, "Yo, Suk-yong, come here. Check this out." And it just break in half. I'll be like, "Woo, wow, man. I don't ever want to fight you." And sensei made me fight Tim. Man, all of them, they beat me up. Hallelujah. And then at the end, sensei, he knew he was punishing me, but he picked me up. He was like, "Suk-yong, Lee, I did this because I love you." And I was like, "Yes, sensei." Hallelujah. That made me bitter a little bit. But it made me a stronger student. Hallelujah. Anyway, when sensei brought the hammer, he was showing you love. He was showing you extra care because he believed in your potential. When a professional sports coach invests extra time to focus on training a particular player and is extra hard on them, that player never despises the coach in a professional team. All right? We need to learn the same attitude from the sports world for our spiritual authorities. If we see our spiritual authorities taking a hammer out on us, we should say, "Thank you. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, John Michael. Please give me another one in another month." Trust me, you can't push yourself to attain the kind of character and discipline that God sees fit for the purposes he's called you to. You just can't do it. Thus, God uses spiritual authority, even your boss or your coworkers at your workplace. He'll use all of them to push you, to hammer on you, to beat you down. So, brothers and sisters, so as a church, if we want to be the lampstand of pure and hammered gold, we got to learn to submit to authority joyfully. Might as well enjoy it, because God's always going to bring it. Hallelujah. Wrapping up, brothers and sisters, God is establishing JSCM to be a lampstand in his presence. And I believe our fire will burn even brighter as our high priest pours out the Niagara anointing, hallelujah, upon this church. But may we never be fooled into thinking that it will be like this forever, that it will always be like this automatically. Let us take the warning in Revelation 2 toward the church of Ephesus. There are churches that are on fire, and later on, God will snuff out their lampstand if they do not follow the leading of the Spirit. Once again, God is not served. He is obeyed. And as a church and as your leader, I am committed to following the leading of the Spirit. No matter how ridiculous, no matter how foolish it may make me seem, in the end day, nothing that I do for Christ that I originated from, it originated from me, will last. But only that's done in Christ, that's the stuff that will not get burned up on Judgment Day. Let us pray. Lord Father, I just commit this church into your hands, God.
I pray that, Lord, JSCM will be a lampstand. A lampstand in your presence, oh God. A lampstand that you love walking up to and pouring out oil upon. For you are the baptizer of the Holy Spirit and with fire. And God, we want to be a church, oh God, that burns brightly. A lampstand made of pure gold, made of hammered work. A lampstand, oh God, with not just decorative flowers, but it has a strong base that is made of hammered gold, oh God. We want to be that church, oh God. A lampstand in your presence. So, Father, bless this church, Lord. Although it's painful, God, we ask that, God, you would just continue to hammer us down, refine our faith, beat down our pride, that we may be men and women of character, men and women of humility, men and women of love. For such is the lampstand in your presence, God. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.